Blog Talk Radio.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, you won't be the tell me, you've been to your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Body and your soul, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken.
About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your needs, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah. Mended my broken.
He has mended my broken neck.
thank you, Lord. For the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose, thank you, Lord.
I receive
the healing, Lord. I receive your healing, Jesus.
I receive
the touch from you. I'll stand and wait on the Lord and be of good courage. But you said you're stripping my hand to heaven, right where you are. Come on and tell them.
Good morning. First of all, God is head of our lives. Welcome. Today is Man Up Monday. Your host is Pastor Amos Smith Jr. and your guest is Pastor Vernon Sorrell Jr. We'll be coming on later this morning. Definitely want to give a shout out to all the countries that's listening in. The United States, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Jamaica, Germany, Saudi Arabia, China, Hong Kong, Bulgaria, Russia, Zimbabwe, and we just picked up Israel, Jerusalem. Thank you guys for tuning in. Know that we're on this side of the globe praying and fighting for you. The scripture also is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That was Jeremiah 29:11. Get your pens and paper ready. Stay tuned. The host and the man of God will be on shortly.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Thank you. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Yeah. Come on, say.
You are God.
worship and I adore your name.
I worship and adore.
Just want to tell you.
Just want to tell you.
Lord, I love.
Manipulated,
and its strength
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know you favored me. Because my enemies, they did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny, because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it and took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today. When I think about all I've been through, and I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me. Because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me. Because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me. My character, my integrity, my but it would not fall, would not bend, won't compromise. God favored me. I spoke life and prosperity. I even spoke health. He favored me. They whispered about me. They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me. My character, in God, he faith in me. It will not fall.
Will not bend.
Not gonna bend.
Won't compromise.
Won't compromise.
God favors me. I speak life.
I speak prosperity.
And I speak health.
And I speak health.
God favors me.
They whisper.
They whisper.
They conspire.
Conspire.
They told their lies.
They told their
hey.
Lies.
But God faith in
me.
My character. Was in question, but he favored me. I promised him that I wouldn't compromise. Although I was going through, and I spoke life, and I spoke prosperity, and I spoke health. See, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But I want you to know tonight you got faith.
God favors me.
In your trial, in your test, in your hard time, don't worry.
God favors me.
Attack your character. Attack your integrity. Don't worry, no, no.
God favors me.
Touch your neighbor. Encourage the person next to you. Tell them I got it. Tell them I got it. I can say it. Because I got through my crisis, difficult.
I'll be happy to tell you why.
God favors me.
No longer do I cry when fake friends say goodbye.
God favors me.
Some days the well was dry, but I had the same reply.
Yeah.
Everybody, one more time, everybody, lift your voice all over this world and say, God favors me.
God favors me.
Listen, you have just listened to God Favors Me, and we are here live now. I want to first of all thank God for my big brother, Pastor Douglas. And First Lady Kay Douglas, I want to thank God for them for allowing me to be the host here on this awesome, magnificent show that God has brought back. God has brought out for them to reach countries all over doing this radio broadcast. And certainly I thank God for getting the opportunity to fill in for my brother. If you're listening all over, I want to let you know now that whatever it is that you are going through, you understand that when you are favored by God, and I said I was going to step in. I'm not trying to preach. But when you are favored by God, I'm trying to keep my composure, because favor outbeats having money. So in this season, when God is blessing you, then it's time to put up your money and start spending your favor. Because favor, and guess what? I found out that favor ain't fair. Favor doesn't come to everybody. And so thank God that not only does he favor me, but then at the same time, he favors me. And in return of being favored, you can also be flavored. Because, oh, taste and see, that's just me, that the Lord is good. Listen, I'm your host now, Amos G. Smith, Sr. The time now is 8:25 on a good Monday morning, September 20th. And listen, I will, my big sister, the woman of God, read a scripture before, Jeremiah 11. Says, I know the plans that I have for you. I believe the thoughts are to do you good and not evil and bring you to an expected end. And what I love about that is because there might be a lot of people all over the world that got different plans. People are getting up this morning because they plan to go to work. They have gotten their kids dressed. Because the plan was to take their kids to school. And all the while we're traveling and doing something, we might go to work. But even though I plan to go to work this morning, while I'm sitting here at work, somebody else could be having plans to harm me. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people that got up and went to the bank this morning. They work at the bank. And their plan was to get up, get dressed, come to the bank and have a productive day. But somebody may be deciding that today is the day that they want to rob the bank. You have many plans. But what God is saying is, although everybody may wake up with plans to do evil toward you, by the end of the day, you might find yourself in a situation. God says, I have plans for you, and they are good, not evil. So if God is planning something for you, do rest assured that his plans are for good and not evil, and his plans are to bring you to an expected end. You can expect it. That's one thing about God. God is not a God that throws empty promises. Whatever he says, you can expect it, and you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to come to pass. And so for those of you out there that have been like me along this Christian journey, you know what I found out, big sister? You can definitely go ahead and chime in. I love talking to you. But if not, we just hang out
right here.
What I love about God, I love that. And if you have been like me, see, big sister, I don't know why folks been on this journey. I see people so happy. I mean, they started ministry off, and I remember that's how I was when I first got called to the ministry. I was so excited. I was on fire. I'm ready to preach. And was condemning folks to hell and, oh, live right and live this, and it ain't hard to serve God and do this. And then as I'm starting to do ministry, life started hitting me hard. Certain situations that taught me how to respond if you're walking with God. This thing didn't come with it. You didn't come with knowing how. That's just like if you get into a relationship. Yeah, you might be ready for marriage. Your status might say you single, so you can go marry anybody you choose to. But it's when you get in that marriage that marriage is teaching you how to have patience, teaching you how to love your wife, teaching you what to say and not say, what to do and not do. This is a journey. I might have got with you, and you was just a girlfriend to me. But in 5 years, there's something about you that changes. People always talk about, well, I didn't want to get married no more because she changed on me. Well, that's the thing. If you married a girl at 22, then by 32, yes, she's changed. Her mind's changed. Her body's changed. You didn't marry the same girl that you married at 22. So I've learned that even in marriage, it's going to fail if I can't grow with my spouse. If I can't understand that the same mind level she was on in her 20s, she's not going to be on in her 30s. By 40s, it might be something else. What I'm saying is when you get into a marriage, that's when you're learning. You even learning about yourself. You learning about yourself, because guess what? This ain't no relationship where you can get mad at your girl and then leave and say, no, I'm leaving. Now I'm married. I have to stay and figure this thing out. And so what it is now is when we get with God, yeah, we can say we love him all day. Yeah, I love the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe with him. But it's not until you start walking and being married to this thing. Well, you start to say, well, I know God said no other gods before him, but to actually see him be jealous, to see him get jealous, to see him take something from you or decide he's not going to talk to you today, because if you really in God and you used to hearing him, you're not going to take God not saying nothing to you. You're not going to be able to take that. Lord, I'm praying to you and I ain't getting nothing. I'm going to church, and it seems like everybody's hearing from you, but I ain't heard nothing. Lord, what's going on with you? If God and you in a relationship with him, there will be some times. And you can't say that you're not a prophet of God because you didn't hear. And you know what I found out, sis? I found out, like I said the other day, Paul said, this is Paul now. Paul says, 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of body, I don't know. But I was called up into the third heavens and was shown some things that was unlawful for me to discuss. The reason why sometimes God is not talking to us is because we are talking too much. And you mastered not drinking, not smoking. You know, you're not coveting your neighbor's wife. And, you know, you're not starting no hell down at the job. You know what I'm saying? You're loving your neighbor as you do yourself. You know what I'm saying? You borrow a weed eater, you give it back. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I understand you're doing good. But at the same time, there have been some vows and violations that we have experienced. And then you in a relationship with God, you have to learn what it is that the Father expects of you what it is that the Father wants of you. And so I thank God today. Listen, my brothers and sisters, on first of all, again, I want to say I thank God for Pastor and First Lady Douglas for allowing me this time to host this wonderful radio broadcast. If it was anybody else, I don't know. I would have said I'm on the way to work, but I know God is doing something with my big brother and sister in this hour. I said it, and now to watch it come to pass as they move forth in ministry and do what God has. I'm elephant excited and hippopotamus happy and gorilla glad to see my brother and my sister moving forth in ministry. Listen, we have a speaker on the line this morning, somebody that is going to come and break the bread of life. And I heard that he was an awesome man of God. I want everybody now to put their hands and their hearts together, wherever you are. You might be in your car, at your house. Get ready to receive the pastor that we have online this morning, Pastor Vernice. I don't know if I'm saying this right, Vernice Serial Sr. He's going to be on the line this morning, and I want every single person from all over the country, wherever you are, that's listening to put your hearts together and receive the word that God is going to give us this morning. And I pray that whatever this pastor deposits in your spirit, whatever he downloads in your minds and your heart's hard drive, that you get it in your spirit, because I believe God is not going to wake nobody up early and not give a word for his people. And certainly we thank God for you, Pastor, on this morning. I'm going to step out the way, and I'm going to let you give us what thus said the Lord. Are you on this morning?
Yes, I am.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Well, listen. I know two things. My dad taught me as I grew up in ministry. He said, make people happy once. Don't make them happy twice. I said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, they already going to be happy that you stood up. Don't make them be happy again that you sat down. So with that being said, I'm going to step out the way. And I'm going to allow you to give to the people what God gave you. Glad you could be with us this morning. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I release this dynamic man of God to come and give us what this said the Lord. Pastor, your floor.
Amen. Thank you all for inviting me on this morning to be a part of this show. This is the first for me being on a radio broadcast, but yeah, I thank God for this opportunity. Today I bring you greetings from the Houston Christian United People Center in Houston, Texas, where our senior pastor is Jerry Sorrell, and I'm the pastor, Vernice Sorrell Jr., along with my wife, Pastor Erica. We thank God for this opportunity. We know that we could be doing anything else, but on this morning we decided to bring a word for you, the people. We pray this morning that God would give revelation, that God would make this word real, give a rhema word to someone that's listening on today. Today we're going to start, we're going to look into Isaiah. Those of you that are writing and listening, I will do the reading for you. Those of you that can read, ask that you will listen along. And when Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. As the man of God that introduced me said, I remember a lot of things. My father was Bishop Vernice Sorrell Sr. I remember a lot of things that he preached on over the years, and this was always one of my favorites when I would hear him come from this this passage here. And today I want to shine some light in what Isaiah was going through and what he was trying to get the people to see here. And looking at this, I wonder why Isaiah didn't say, in the year that I got rich, That song's more becoming. In the year that I started my business, or in the year that I bought my first house, my first car, in the year I met my wife or my husband, or in the year that I got drafted into the big league, something great. But he chose to say, in the year that King Uzziah died. Why would he say that? Looking at Uzziah was a great king. He was a good king. He reigned for 52 years. He was the second longest rule over Judah. He accomplished many things. People were marveled at some of the things that King Uzziah accomplished. But Uzziah had one problem. And the thing that Isaiah did, he wasn't a bad king because of this, because he didn't worship idol gods, but he did one thing that was wrong. And we all can relate to this. We've all done some things that are wrong when we look back at it. Uzziah did was he got out of his lane. He was warned not to, but he did. And again, remembering my father always said that if people would stay in their lanes, those of you that are driving right now, make sure you stay in your lane. As you're driving right now on the highway, we don't want any accidents, so make sure you stay in your lane. And this is something that Uzziah did not do in spite of the warning. He did what he wanted to do. The Bible tells us that he was strong. His heart was lifted up to his destruction because he transgressed against God. This is where we are. As a people, we've gotten out of our lanes. Men getting in women's lanes, acting as if God made a mistake when he created man. Women getting in men's lanes. We're allowing our boys and our girls to get in each other's lanes. We're allowing all of this to happen. We got children getting in adults' lanes, children acting like adults, and then we got adults acting like children nowadays.
Yes, sir.
We got everybody getting in each other's lanes, husbands getting in wives' lanes and wives getting in husbands' lanes. We got politicians getting in doctors' lanes. We got politicians getting in teachers' lanes. We got single folk getting in married folks' lanes, and we got married folks getting in single folks' lanes. But we're not just talking about non-believers here. These are believers as well. We're getting out of our lanes. It's in the church. We continue to do what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do. We have men in the pulpit. Instead of us pulling people out of the pit, we getting in a pit with people. We can see, we can relate to what King Uzziah did. King Uzziah backslid. He became strong and successful and victorious and rich. And this is where we are in the pulpit. We've corrupted the calling. It's not about souls anymore. It's more about position, power, and pride. I'm just talking right now. Then as the congregation sees this, then the congregation feels like, well, you know what? If pastor does it, well, guess what? It must be okay. It's no shame in it anymore. There's no conviction in it because we see our leaders doing it. And if our leaders can do it, well, guess what? We become comfortable and complacent in sin. If we look at Isaiah 1:4, it says that our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Because of his disobedience, King Uzziah was stricken with leprosy, and he was quarantined. We think quarantining just happened, but it didn't. It's been a thing.
King Uzziah
was quarantined. And looking at this, could you imagine Isaiah here looking at this? Uzziah, the good king, stricken with leprosy, he's dead. A great king with a tragic ending. I can see Isaiah discouraged, disappointed, in disbelief, disillusioned. People in the wake of our sinful actions against God, we're a nation that's gone wrong. We find ourselves in this pandemic. This is where we are. Churches closed, clubs open. Churches barely opening, but clubs are full. I don't know if you live in the city of Houston, if you ride around on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, the clubs are full, but you ride by churches and the parking lots are empty. People are saying, well, I'm not going to church because the pandemic and COVID-19 and the spread of it, but yet our clubs are full. And you look at them, no mask, no anything, just enjoying themselves. Some people are important, some people are not. Some people have good health care, some people don't. Some people going out, some people are not. Some people wearing masks, some people not. The kids go to school, then the kids stay home. We see more divorce than ever before. We see a lot of people fighting each other harder than they fight for each other in marriage. This is discouraging. It's disappointing. This is very confusing. We have leaders fighting each other. In Texas now, we have open buy, meaning anybody can buy a gun. No training, no certifications, no anything. Anybody can buy a gun, while every day we see senseless shootings on our highways. Also during this pandemic time, what else have we seen as discouraging and disappointing? African Americans being gunned down on the streets. This is very discouraging and disappointing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this. I'm tired of seeing all of these things going on. We've been lynched, beaten to death. Our homes have been burnt down. Our cities, our businesses burnt to the ground unapologetically, and this is where we are. In the wake of this, I ask white America, I ask black America, I ask all of America, how much more blood do we have to shed? How long do we continue down this path as a sinful nation before we turn back to God? How much more do we have to lose as God's people? And looking at this thing, when tragedy occurs, we experience a numbness. It causes us to be complacent and accepting. But today, I refuse to accept this as the new normal. I'm not going to be complacent and accepting. I'm not going to be lazy about this. This pandemic is causing a lot of people to become lazy and accepting. But I want you to know, just like we came out of crisis before, we will come out of this. I want you to know that there's hope today. There will be a time where we will hug again. There will be a time where we will shake hands again. There will be a time, but we got to rise above our sinfulness. I refuse to allow a temporary circumstance to place a permanent decision on my life.
Come on, man.
I'm coming
come
out
on,
of
man.
This.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I hope that you can say that I refuse to allow a temporary circumstance to place a permanent decision on your life. Say, I am coming
Hallelujah.
Out of it.
I am
refuse
coming out
to
of
allow
it.
These temporary circumstances to place a permanent decision on my children. My children are coming out of it. I refuse to allow it to place a permanent on my family. My family is coming out of this.
Yes,
today I refuse to be complacent and accepting of another black woman or a black man being executed for no reason by use of deadly. I refuse to accept people dying senseless deaths on the streets of Houston as the new normal. I refuse to allow this to happen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I can see Isaiah trying to get through this, trying to make sense of it. Some of you might be saying, in the year that I lost my job, we've experienced a lot of loss over the last couple of years. In the year that my business failed, in the year that I lost a loved one to COVID-19, in the year that I was heartbroken, in the year that I was burdened down, in the year I failed my class, in the year I lost my parents, I want you to know that Satan, he doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair at all. He's a dirty player. He uses these weapons called disobedience, discouragement, disappointment, disbelief. He uses despair. He uses doubt, distraction, double-mindedness, dishonesty, deceit, discord. He uses delay. But today I want to infuse some hope in you right now through the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that he might be able to delay your joy, but I come to tell you that he cannot deny it. The Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. Satan, he might have the power to delay it, but I'm going to tell you right now, he cannot. And you better believe this right now, wherever you are and whatever you're experiencing right now, it might be delayed, but he does not have the power to deny it. There's something you ought to shout about right now. There's something that you ought to be glad about. Your spirit should be rising right now. There should be some hope coming into your spirit right now. There should be a shout of praise, of glory right now, because he cannot deny it.
Yes.
He uses this to make you feel hopeless, to drive you to complacency and acceptance. But Isaiah said, I feel like Isaiah today, you might need some hope. I tell you, Isaiah needed to know that everything was going to work out. Today I tell you right now that it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay.
Yes.
In the wake of King Uzziah dying, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He was sitting upon a throne. He was high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Today I want to encourage you today to look to God. Look to God. Psalms 121 says, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. I want you to look to God today because 2 Corinthians 4:7-8 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You might be troubled on every side, but you're not distressed. You might be perplexed, but believe it, people, you're not in despair. You might be persecuted, but you are not forsaken. You might be cast down right now. They may have thrown in the towel on you, but guess what? You are not destroyed. You will rise. You will come out of this. Believe this today. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. I don't know about you, but I know this today. I know that all things will work together for my good, because I love the Lord and I am called according to his purpose. I don't know about you, but I've been called and I'm doing what the Lord tells me to do. So I know that all of these things that are going on around me, guess what? It might look bad right now, but these things are going to turn for my good. God has a purpose and a plan for what you are going through and what you are experiencing right now. Believe it right now that these things will work together. It might look bad, but I heard that two a negative times a negative becomes a positive. God is working something out for you right now. He's using algebra right now to work these things out for you. You might be asking, where is the Lord in all of this? Well, I would tell you, in the midst of the tragedy that we've suffered, he's on the throne. That tells me no matter what it looks like, guess what, people? No matter what it feels like, God is in charge. He is sitting on the throne. God is in charge. El Roi, he's the God who sees you. El Elyon, he is the sovereign God. El Shaddai, he is God Almighty. God Almighty is in control of what you are facing right now. What we are going through right now, God is in control. So let's get this thing right, because God is in charge. In the midst of the tragedies we have suffered,
Isaiah says that he is high and lifted up. That tells me no matter what is going on, God is in control. Tell yourself right now, God is in control. God is in control of what I'm facing right now. God is in control. He's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is all-present. He is omniscient. Guess what? He is an all-knowing God in the midst of the tragedies, the things that we face, the things that we've suffered. Isaiah says his train fills the temple. This tells me that no matter how it feels, he is present with me. Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. He is a present help in the time of trouble. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He's not just present. He is very present with me.
Very present. He does.
Psalm 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of
death,
I will fear no evil, for he is with me.
He is with me.
You might be discouraged today, but I want to encourage you to see the Lord wherever you are right now. Seek him while you can. In the wake of all of this, I can tell you where he is. God is in charge of your situation. He knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you. They're of good and not of evil, and to give you that expected end, to prosper you and to give you that expected end. God is in control of your story, and he is a present help in your times of trouble. I hope and pray that this word encouraged you today. I hope and pray that there was some hope that was deposited in your spirit right now. You're not the only one going through something. We're all facing it right now. But I challenge you right now to look to God. Look to God right now. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. God is there with you. He's going through this with you. And because we're going through it, guess what? God has already been there before us. He's gone before us to make every crooked place straight. God is there. He's been there. He's with you, and he's behind you. Believe this on today. If you need that encouragement, God is in charge. He's in control, and he is present with you. I hope and pray that this helped you on today. I hope and pray that it caused a change in your spirit, not just the warm goosebumps and you feel the bumps on your arms, but there is a change in you that comes from this message. That's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Certainly we thank God for you, Pastor. I love that it seems like you were talking to me. I don't know whoever else was on the broadcast listening, but man, you were speaking directly to me. In the year that I lost my marriage, I saw God. I lifted up. In the year of 2013,
yes,
when my father died,
yes,
I
sir.
Saw the Lord.
Yes,
and I've been telling people that, Pastor, the whole time when God called me to the ministry and my father was a pastor, and I've never had a relationship with him growing up, but when I started preaching, we got close. And then four years into the ministry, God took him. He took him from me. When I asked God, why did you do that? Why did, soon as I started having a close relationship with my father, something that we can agree on and talk about the word, and everywhere I would preach, he would go with me. He would support me. I never had that type of support from him before. And when I said, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you let me get close? And I specifically heard God say, it's because you would have spent so much time trying to preach to please him that you would have never preached to please me. And I had to take him so I can form you into the preacher I need you to be, and not the preacher that you thought he should be. And in the year that my father died, I saw God. I lifted up. And when you are able to stick with God, then you'll be able to be like Isaiah at the end of the scripture when he said, if you need somebody, send me, I'll go, because I did it.
Yes,
God, you blessed me today. When you talked about that, it's delayed but not denied. Listen, and that's
sir.
The angel had to tell Daniel. Your prayer wasn't denied. It's just for 21 days. It's been delayed.
Yeah.
So So I thank God for this, man. Listen, and we're gonna send a prayer right now. I want to pray that that God not only replenishes you with what you poured out to the people, but that right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that your family and your ministry and whatever God has for you be blessed now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would restore strength back into the man of God even now. God, whatever his hands touch, whatever you send his hands to go do, God, let it be blessed now in the name of Jesus. God, let his cupboards overflow even now. God, whatever need in the name of Jesus, whatever need he has, take care of it, God. And we ask you that not in many days the bread that he cast out on the water shall be returned back to him, Lord. Touch his body, his health, his family, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, not only touch his health, but touch his wealth, God. Thank you for that you're calling out a prophet, that you're calling out a man of God to come to the people. God, we thank you now that this message that you gave us, the message that you delivered to your people, it could reach from the church house all the way to the White House with this message. God, we thank you that this message could not only speak to pastors and people, but politicians as well. God, we ask you now that you would touch us, Lord, transform us, change us, and motivate us with this message to be all that you would have us to be. It's in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Pastor, on this morning for sharing with us. And before we go, I want to give you a chance to give the people, where can we find you at if you have a social media, wherever your church at? Where can the people come and look you up, Doc? Because I'm interested in coming to find you and fellowshipping with you. Whatever. But for the people's sake, as we own now, let them know where we can find you at and where can we go to get a hold of you.
Yes, my name is Pastor Bernard Sorrell Jr. I don't ever introduce myself as pastor because I believe that people should see the walk before they know the title. So anybody will tell you, they'll say that I always introduce myself as Bernard Sorrell Jr. Because I want to be an example. I want to be a guide. I want to be a light that people will see God through me. Amen. We're at 149 Winkler Drive in Houston, Texas. We're at the Gulfgate Mall area. Those of you that are familiar with the Houston area, we're right in the southeast corner of the 610 Loop. Used to be Gulfgate Shopping Mall. Now it's a shopping strip, whatever they call it now. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We do have a Facebook, and that'll be Houston Christian. If you look that up, you'll see it on Houston Christian United People Center is our Facebook page. On Sundays, we'll go live through our Houston Christian at name. We are on Twitter at Houston Cup Center. We are on Instagram as well, and the young folks do it for me. My daughter, she does all of this for me. So we're on Instagram, and we are on Twitter. My name is Vernon Sorrell Jr. I do have a separate Facebook account for myself where I try to post encouraging things, and I try to keep up with a lot of things that's going on in this world. Our senior pastor is Jerry Sorrell. She does, her and my father founded our church many, many years ago. We started off as St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, and now we are the Houston Christian United People Center. And again, her name is Jerry Sorrell. I believe the Douglases know her because of her alterations. So she does a lot of alterations. So if any pastors are looking for robes or alterations of their suits or anything, she does all of that. So look her up. Senior Pastor Jerry Sorrell, she's on Facebook as well. Again, we thank you all for this time, and we pray that something was said or done that causes a change in your life, and that's in Jesus' name.
God bless you, Pastor. We thank you for coming to our radio show and giving us what thus said the Lord. We thank you. I'm going to go ahead and lift you up, man, and I pray that I get a chance to come out and fellowship with you all, and thank you for sharing with the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No. Hopefully I'm not. Hopefully they're not happy I'm sitting down.
Oh, no, I could have used a little bit more of that, but I understand you done ran out of message. We just ran out of time.
Yeah. You know, this is the first I want to be conscious of the time limit. My father always told me, you know, it's better for people to ask you up than to be asked down.
Right.
So,
yes, you do. Right.
And you do what people ask you to do. Don't do no more. Don't do no less. Do what people ask you to do. If they tell you that's that time frame, well, guess what? You better get it in that time frame because that's what people ask you to do. You follow those directions. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, but I thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here. Pastor Douglas White, thank you as well. And Pastor Douglas, thank you guys so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. It was an honor to have you on, Pastor. I'm sure we'll have you back. You have been blessed with phenomenal days. Again, thank you for coming on to give that word this morning.
Yes, ma'am. You guys have a blessed day.
Bless you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, certainly we thank God for all of you who tuned in to listen in on the broadcast. I personally want to thank my big brother and big sister, Pastor Douglas, and First Lady, Pastor K. Douglas, or should I say elect lady? I don't want to say first because we're the first, there's a second and a third. But if you're elected, you're selected by God.
Come on now.
So let me change that.
Come on.
Thank you to my brother, Pastor Bishop Douglas, and to elect lady, Pastor K. Douglas. I want to thank y'all for having me come in and host this show in the stand of my brother. I truly was blessed this morning. I truly was blessed by the Pastor Vernis Jr., for what he had to say in Houston Cups. We certainly thank God for y'all, and we pray God's choice blessings for Houston Cups and to the pastor and his wife, to his father in ministry, and his father, natural father, and to all the work that they're doing over there in Houston Cups. We pray God's choice blessings. And then I want to send a special prayer and a special blessing. Just as God is busting the door open for everybody else, I pray that the Abba House, Lord have mercy, that the Abba House be a place where Christ and Christians meet and the stranger never feels strange. I pray that the Abba House be a place where you can truly say, I am here with my Father, and I came to my Father's house. Abba Father who art in heaven. So
thank
I thank God for you guys, and I pray a choice blessing that laborers from north, south, east, and west shall come and labor in the vineyard, and not just church folks, but kingdom builders.
Amen.
That the kingdom be enriched in you and in building you. Thank y'all so much for having me, and I love y'all truly. And to those who listened in and you got a word from God, remember that it won't be like this always. Don't make a permanent decision in this temporary circumstance. And whatever you have coming for you is not denied. It's just delayed.
Right.
The angel told Daniel, your prayer was answered 21 days ago. But the Prince of Persia had me held up. So we thank God right now that it might be delayed, but it can never be denied. Make your response worship and not worry. God bless y'all.
And before you go, bro, I want to tell you that we just picked up Israel Jerusalem. I just had to share that with you before you got off the line because I know you got to go to work. But all those remarks and comments didn't stop nothing. God was still in control. Now we are in Israel Jerusalem. I just want to share that before you got off here.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I heard Big Brother say that when I came to hear him preach in fellowship. When I thank God because now God is moving it, and he's preaching. And I seen that when I saw Big Brother preaching at that place. The Lord showed me that that's not just the only place that you're ready for your traveling shoes, because God is about to start sending Pastor Douglas in places to not only bring life and life, laugh, and love back to church, but then to bring realness and real word, and I totally thank God for him. I pray now that every negative and evil, just a plan of the enemy that shall come against Abba House, be canceled and destroyed immediately. In the name of Jesus, I pray that every plan of deceit, every plan of convincing, every plan of manipulation be cut down. In the name of Jesus, I pray that things be exposed.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I also pray that it be an undeniable fact that God is with our house.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And listen, and Lord, we pray now that you fix our hearts, because every single person that have said any evil and malicious things will have to come back, because they won't find no peace until they do.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
And then we pray that everybody that stands in agreement with the ministry and the movement be blessed. Let supporters and sowers find themselves giving to the Abba House. Let enemies find themselves giving to the Abba House.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now for what you're doing. Listen, again, like I said, I'm elephantly excited about what God is doing with y'all. And I told Big Brother that I'm in for the long haul.
I can't wait to see.
Well, we'll never see the finished product of it until God get ready to come. But I'd like to I want to see the development of a Abba House. And, of course, y'all know whatever it is that y'all need. The Lord told me that when I was at the hotel, he said, whatever your big brother needs. You know how you get ready to work somewhere and you have to be an intern?
Yeah.
Now, you done already went to school.
Yeah.
You already know how to do it. But before you get in the door, you have to be an intern.
Come on.
I already know since I've been to school what God has been doing for me and stuff like that. But when I served him at the hotel, I heard the Lord say that I'm about to bust it open for you, but you have to show yourself humble again.
Yes, Lord.
I heard God say that to me.
They don't know.
It's hard because we don't want to deal with that. We feel like, oh, Lord, I've been preaching for 12 years. Why am I going to be an intern somewhere? I heard God say that. God say, whatever big brother call you, go serve.
Jesus.
That's what I heard, because you're an intern now.
No, go ahead.
No, I just heard that God said, wherever big brother go, when you have the opportunity, go serve him, which is why I had to hurry up and come to the hotel when we left. He said, go serve. As I sat there, I heard the Lord say, serve him, because you are intern now. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? I'm ready for you. I thought I was ready. The Lord said, no, you went through some things that caused you to dial back. Some of it might not be your fault, but some of it was. Let's just face the fact. See, we always talk about when you make it to the top, those that wasn't around me, or you wasn't meant for you to be in this season, or you wasn't strong enough to be with me. No, there were some people that were strong enough to walk in your next season, but as you were building your own broken self up, you did some things to put people off. And so now God is saying, is that, you know what to do. Yeah, you've been preaching for 12 years, but at the same time, I need you to go back to servitude if you want to prove to me. And now, every time your brother calls you, I need you to go do that. So that's why I could be just getting off of work, but I have to be at the hotel. That's why I can be on my way to work now, but I'm still on here, because I wouldn't be doing this if God didn't direct me to do it. And I believe that by humbling myself, See, most people, they don't hear from God, and they get ready to go, and they get ready to lead, and you know you just got through being hurt, and you done made it through a divorce,
uh-huh.
and you done did this, and you did
uh-huh.
that, and you so ready to jump out there, and then get in the pulpit and
uh-huh.
start preaching your feelings. Now, God said, in order for you to heal, you got to go back to the drawing board, Smith.
You
got to
get healed. Come on.
So I pray that with each time I serve and do for, that it'll bring me closer to God letting me reveal that, you know, ministry was for real. It is for real.
Yes.
And if you
yes.
can sit up there and say throughout all your years of ministry, you ain't never wanted to slap somebody, you ain't never wanted to quit, and I'm almost starting to wonder who called you, because the devil got a telephone too.
That's right.
So I just thank God.
It's not always about the title. The title don't make you. God made you. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I pray that I could just continue to serve until God see, okay, you know what? You've interned enough and it's time to push, because now I know this time around.
Mm.
Lord, don't you know I had a radio show in 2016, and I was preaching everywhere, and I had a radio show, and I was doing this and doing that, and I had spent so much time trying to serve at first before God elevated me, that when he did, when I finished school, when I got the bachelor's and the master's in theology, when I went to school, I had set myself on a place to say, you know what, can't nobody, I know the word now.
Yeah,
and even though I was saying that, life started taking me through. It's a shame how I got A's in school on learning who God is, but got a big fat red F in life following what he said.
Talk about it, bro. Be real. Talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about now because I know everybody else, Christians, you know, save all day, no evil have I done. You know, you didn't think no evil.
Yeah.
You know, ain't good for you.
Yeah.
That's good for you. And I thank God for you. And I strive to be like you. But I know me.
Mm.
And I know that when I thank God, when I go in church and I shout, I thank God for what he forgave me for after I got saved. Uh-oh.
That's right.
I want to be filled with the people. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for allowing me to be here, and I truly love y'all deeply, and I told Dr. Douglas, and I tell you this, you know that, whatever it is that y'all are doing with this radio, with the church, even in life, let me know, because I see y'all heart, and y'all remind me a lot of me. Folks want to always prophesy to you what you can do. What you can be and what you will be, and then get an attitude when you start being.
Come on. You're preaching.
And so for that, you see people hard. Yeah, I might be. See, because y'all been preaching this whole time about beware of wolves and sheep. But you don't know how to accept sheep in wolf clothing. That's the problem. The problem is you don't know how to accept people that love God but rough around the edges. That's a problem. And the church is in for a rude awakening, because those that are about to lead the people into this new gen of worship and praise, and those that are not about to lead the people into this new gen of following God, is going to be people that do not look like you and sound like you.
That's right.
And act like you, and we gotta watch how we talk. So I thank God that he's about to raise the sheep in wolf clothing. To lead the sheep and to lead his people, because he wants some raw dog and uncut mad dogmatic folks that says right is right, wrong is wrong, fast, fast. And if God be God.
Oh.
You don't do it. So So I'm not worried about where it is, because God surrounded himself with several people. He surrounded himself with all kind of people. I mean, how can you reach the bad folk if you don't want to hang out with him? And so like I said, I'm trying to strive right, but I got folks around me just like Jesus. That's not all the way. Jesus was following of Christ, but Peter cut another man's ear off. And to this day, I'm a follower of Christ. I preach his word, but I guarantee you, I got one or two friends that'll cut your ear off if you come sideways now.
Come on now. Come on now.
Yeah,
come on. Come on.
Yeah, Alexis is dead. So we thank God, and you just got to keep on walking. I mean, if you can't take criticism, you're not ready for ministry. I mean, you got to think about it.
This for you.
Yeah, it's not for you. I mean, Jesus didn't do nothing wrong to nobody. But yet they said this carpenter's son. But look how they try to downplay him so bad. This carpenter's son. And then look at Paul. Paul, no, he's following Christ. And they said, not one man will lose your life. But when they got all shipwrecked, it's the same people that called Paul a witch. Called him a devil. But then all of a sudden, your big brother preached about it. Called him a devil. Then as soon as he get bit by the snake and don't fall, now they call you a god. So this is how we know. This is how we know that you changed. This is how we know that you're going to come into something. It wasn't until he survived the poison that they called him a god.
Yep.
And this is how you know you're moving into God's state. When you start surviving the poison.
Come on.
The poison that people have put over your ministry. The poison that people have put over your life. The poison that people tried to inject with yesteryear's failures. And this season, you're going to declare me a god because I've survived your poison.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I survived you. We're past talking about surviving on broken pieces. T.D. Jakes gave us that one. Let's slide past that one. We talked about that one. Yeah, I'm surviving on broken pieces. But then guess what? The Bible said that Paul started gathering sticks, and the men from Malta seen them and started gathering sticks as well. This also going to let me know that God is going to send some people to help me when I first learn to help myself.
Yep.
And then watch this. The same, here we go. The same sticks that was used to build the fire, or the same sticks that was used to build, you understand? The snake found himself in that. You didn't wrap yourself around me when I was in the water. You didn't wrap yourself around me when I had sat to try to dry off a little bit. You wrapped yourself around me when I started gathering what I needed to build. Listen to that. The snake ain't gonna bother you until you choose to start gathering what you need to rebuild.
That's right. When you see the
but
potential coming forth, absolutely.
But guess what? Here's how we're going to survive that. Here's how we're going to survive that. Because the snake didn't reveal. Now, first of all, my question would be, why didn't Paul notice the snake was around his hand until he got to the fire?
It wasn't that point of time for him to know.
Here's the point. God ain't going to reveal that certain people are around you to kill you until he set up the stage for you to dismiss them. If he would have shook a mouth into the grass, the snake would have been there to bite somebody else. He waited until it was revealed that the snake was around him when he got by the fire. So when he shook him, he just not going to shake him, but he going to shake him and kill him. God is trying to set you up so the next enemy you shake off, that'd be the end of that. See, I'm not surviving to shake off the enemy so he won't mess with me. I'm mm-hmm. about to be so powerful that when I shake off the enemy, I'm going to take care of him and not bothering nobody else again. So yeah, I might shake you off from attacking my ministry. But the next time I shake you off, I'm finna shake you off from attacking the church at large.
Yeah, right there.
You see what I'm saying? I might have shook you off from attacking me, but the next time I shake you off, I'm gonna shake you off from attacking my whole family, period. It is to take care of you and your offspring. Okay, well, I'm done with that. I got the clock in. Certainly, we thank God for you.
Absolutely. Thank you for always being seriously a phone call away. Saying what you mean what you say, speak volume. Everybody say that, but don't necessarily mean it. Thank you, bro. I love you. I will be hitting you back up later. And you enjoy the rest of your morning.
Okay, big sister. Thank you. And thank you again, big brother. Love y'all.
Love you, too. Well, y'all, it's a word. My brother came on and gave a word. Pastor Sorrell came on and gave a word. Thank you again for listening to Worldwide Gospel Connection. Remember, the overcoming scripture is Romans 10:9. You declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9 states, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all God wants of you. You completely surrender to him, and he will take care of the rest. No, it's not going to be easy. I'm going to tell you the truth, but it's going to be worth it. Do not fold. Do not give up. Don't worry about what you did last night nor this morning. God loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always right there with you. Now, you surrender your life to Christ. Welcome. But to know the enemy will attack even harder because you did something he didn't want you to do. You left what was behind and looked forward. I'm proud of you. So now here, if you need to talk, if you need prayer, 832-519-7646. You can text us or call us, or you can inbox us at Worldwide Gospel Connection. I'm going to give you three keys. One, find your Bible. Whether it's King James or NIV, find your Bible. Two, find your church home. When you go visit, please wear your mask, sanitize your hands, wash your hands. The disease is still there, but God is powerful. Three, make sure the man of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, but they are living the word. This is very critical since you surrender your life to Christ. You must be in front of somebody. Make sure he or she walk when they are preaching. The keys are again, one, get your Bible. Two, find your church home. You're definitely welcome to join us at Abba House on Facebook at 10:30 on Sundays and 10:15 on Tuesdays. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is walking what they're preaching. If you want to sow into World Gospel Connection, you can at $WGC2020, or you can go to paypal.me/worldwideGC or Zelle 832-816-7997. Remember, if you need blessed oil, let us know. You can email us at worldwideGospelConnection@gmail.com or inbox us at Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook, or you can text at 832-516-7646. If you're in the Houston area, we can bring it to you, or if you're not, we can definitely mail it to you. Remember, you're not in this by yourself. Iron sharpens iron, and we stand on that. If you need us, let us know. Remember to continue to keep God first, and he'll take care of the rest. Y'all be blessed and tune in tomorrow. Same time, same channel. Have a blessed, phenomenal day.
The thing to try when all else fails is again. The person who really wants to do something finds a way. The person who does not finds an excuse. The person who prevails is the person who refuses to give up. The person with the mental toughness is the person who will triumph. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. The man who can get up one more time than the time he's knocked down is going to be the winner. Being knocked down is not a problem, but staying down is a problem. Get up, because success begins by getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. The Bible declares in Proverbs 24:16, listen to this. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Again. You're not a failure for falling down. You're a failure for staying down.
You know, it's amazing how many people in the world have done phenomenal things after having failed numerous times in their life. And so failure doesn't have to be the end. Making mistakes doesn't have to be the end. I think most people, if they're going to be successful, they have to press through some things. And